Alright, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. We're into December. The season of giving continues. Hopefully a lot of you gave till it hurt by eating as much as you possibly could. Had a great Thanksgiving weekend, and now we've turned the page and we're ready. We're all back, present and accounted for. Fellas, what's going on?
What's up, man? We missed you. What to do? Wednesday.
I listened off and on.
Oh, you
I thought,
did?
Yeah, and I thought you. I texted you at one point.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
About
that
piss poor effort you had in terms of a
the 90 in the book.
Yeah, but other than that,
could not be
you guys
replicated.
Sounded good.
I just want you to know I really appreciate what you do for this show.
Wow. Right, Nick. Isolate, please.
Thank yeah. You. Shocker, huh?
Yes.
I mean, like, we all have our roles on this show. And I just, there is something to be said for a guy that does a great job of getting you in and out of breaks and introducing the show and coming, you know what I mean? Like, that's an art and a skill. Shut up. That's an art and a skill, and every time I try it, I realize how bad I am at it. I'm better at, you know, jokes and reactions and stuff. And
organic.
Yeah, and I'm just not good at that, and you're very polished and smooth, and this show is different when you're not here.
But literally, I tuned in, and I enjoyed, there were a couple times where I enjoyed just the dialogue about whether it was sports-related or not, because obviously we still get the listeners that have to chime in about not sportsy enough or whatever. Yeah. But we've said from the get-go, the plan for this show and how we would like it to go and operate best is not all sports 100%. And I enjoyed the conversations you guys were having from the turkey leg, and you got some calls on that, and just kind of the dialogue about the other things, to where I literally stayed in the car. I was picking up Tay from school, and I'm like, I'm going to wait a sec, so I want to hear how this ends.
Cool.
But I think overall the key is, and that's why I love working when you're out, I love working with Nick, because at least the comfort zone of having two
right.
of the three
right.
are still in place.
Yeah. But I do notice, like, you know, it's the same when you see, like, the blitz, when Fred is out.
Mm-hmm.
And AJ will have people filling in. And sometimes, like, if I fill in with AJ, AJ leads the show. It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's weird. And so it's the same when if I lead the show when you're out. It's weird. So I
you're
just
blessed
wanted to
in the
say,
fact that at least Jerome has radio experience where Jerome can
right.
lead a show.
Yeah, I'm not good at that. That's been well established. But we got through,
yep.
and I'm glad you got an extra day off. And, you know, everything worked out. And how about those Texans, huh?
Well, we got a lot
I knew it.
To talk about
I
there.
That's
called
my favorite.
It. Called it.
That's my favorite is people, everyone. I'm like, you're a lying-ass liar. No, I knew. I told you. No, you didn't. Proof. I need proof. If you can't show me proof that you called it, kiss my ass. You didn't call it.
And
I don't want to hear
it. We had someone on Twitter.
I told my friends. Nope.
We had someone on Twitter that tagged us before the game started. I'm calling my shot now.
Yeah.
The Texans are winning. Kudos, and I'll find
great.
Out who it was.
I might have had him muted because I don't remember that.
Okay, and I'll find out who it was.
There was somebody, but
yeah,
I don't remember the name either.
Nick called it on Friday, and this is the thing, though. So this is why I was looking forward to the show today, because no matter what anybody else said leading up to our show, the one thing our show had that other people didn't have was I took all the venom of, and remember, you were out too, and I told you this. I was like,
yeah.
It's unbelievable, Barry. The fact that I understand after they got waxed by the Ravens, people were jumping off the wagon. But the fact that they beat the Colts pretty much solidified they're going to have something to say about winning the division.
Uh-huh.
And people crapped all over every single bit from the win to Bill O'Brien to everything about the team to
which
where they're,
so
they're
weird.
Done with it. And I said at the time, I said, okay, guys, because at the time when we talked about the three-game stretch, we said, look, if they go 1-2 in that three-game stretch, they still are in a pretty good position.
Right.
They go 2-1,
over those
and that's
three.
Why I tweeted last night, because I said a couple weeks ago when we were going through all this, I said, okay, so if they beat the Patriots, are you guys jumping back on? Or are you done? Oh, I'm done. But BS, because I tweeted last night, okay, are you jumping back on or not? Because right after you beat the Patriots, now everybody's like, yeah, this Texans team's amazing, man. But I hate Bill O'Brien still.
Yeah.
Get off the fence. You're either on or you're off.
I mean, you got to call it like it is. And last night was a very good game from a good football team. And I said as much going into this three-game stretch that I want to see what they do. And if they win two out of these three, then because we didn't know who this team was. Right?
Sure.
They would win some. They would, you know, they were a Jekyll and Hyde.
It was an incomplete identity because one week they could look outstanding and the next week they could play the Ravens.
Yeah. They'd beat the Chiefs and then they'd, you know, lose to the Panthers and stuff like that. And so you would, you know, you'd see them win a few in a row, lose a few in a row. And that pattern, which by the way, it's eerie, this pattern that's going on, but they lose one and win two.
Is that still alive?
That is still alive. Lost to the Saints, and then Jags, Chargers wins. Lost to the Panthers, Falcons, Chiefs wins. Lost to the Colts, Raiders, Jags win. Lost to the Ravens, Colts, Patriots win. They lose one, win two, and they've been doing that all year. And that's part of what we were talking about, them being kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team. But after this three-game stretch, I think there's no doubt that you can say this is a good football team. Do I think that they're going to win the Super Bowl? No. Do I think that they can make a deep run in the playoffs? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are they a good football team as constructed right now? Yes. And I think that this, as bad as that Ravens loss was, we see what they've done. The Ravens have beat the Patriots. They beat the brakes off of pretty much everybody they're playing right now, including that win against the Niners this
yesterday,
weekend.
Yep.
So they just got blown out and had a stinker of a game against a really good football team. But I think that the Texans, you can say now, the Texans are a good football team.
Yeah, give credit where credit's due, because here's the other thing. Give credit to Bill O'Brien.
Yeah,
look, he still has stepped in his own doo-doo in the fact that he has to sign Tunsil and he gave up a bunch of draft picks. But the fact of the matter is, the guys in the Clowney trade that he got annihilated for not getting enough for have actually stepped up and not only seen the field,
decent. They kept bringing it up last
started,
night.
They started to contribute in a way that you were like, oh, that's why Seattle was high on, was it Jacob Martin?
Yeah.
And that's why everybody said he was kind of a key piece. You see some of this. Then, much again, and you've heard it on this show, we were like, look, what's it going to hurt to go get a former first-round pick and see if they can't help in the secondary?
Uh-huh.
And Vernon Hargraves stepped up and played big football last night. But again, you look at the signings that they made and how big that they were, from the safety to the corner. Roby was fantastic.
Yeah.
Colvin was in the backfield messing with all of their running plays to completely change what their offensive philosophy had to be the rest of the game. So they were, look, as much as I crap all over Bill O'Brien, and we all do when he deserves it, give credit where credit's due. He might have given up too much, but he sure got some players that can play.
Bradley Roby looked great.
Man.
You know, like you said, Martin looked good. Defensively, I thought that they looked really good, except that last drive that the Patriots scored on. It looks like they kind of just gave up on that drive, like they weren't into it. Like, the fact that James White had that big, long run, and no one even bothered to get in the vicinity to tackle him, that was a bit disappointing. But in the past, that's where you go, well, here it goes. They're gonna lose this game. The onside kick would normally go to the Patriots.
Everybody's heart was in their throat.
But this is one of those things where, okay, they hung on and they beat a good football team. They had a touchdown in every quarter, which was a weird thing. But, I mean,
well, don't lose sleep on the one thing on the onside kick. Barcavius Mingo made a play.
Yeah,
because he's the guy that recovered. So the trade was fantastic, the Clowney trade, because he recovered the onside kick, and that was big.
Yeah, he also had a big penalty, too.
Well, but, and that was kind of BS, too, that penalty.
But I think that the talk right now is about, the Bill O'Brien, and I mean, look what they did to one of the best defenses in football with the Patriots. I mean, they put up numbers. Did Deshaun Watson have a great game? I mean, numbers-wise, he didn't put up 500 yards, but, man, three touchdowns, no interceptions. He was only sacked three times. Let's be real.
Yep.
If you can get out of a game with the Texans only giving up three sacks, you'll take that.
No picks.
Yeah, and the running game wasn't great, but it was effective
serviceable
enough.
Yep.
Right?
When they needed him, they got the runs that they got. How about the fact that O'Brien opened up the playbook enough to try a play in the red zone, like the double handoff pass, that ends up with Watson catching it for a touchdown? Conservative Bill O'Brien doesn't pull that one out of his back pocket.
Yeah, that's impressive, and you got to give him a lot of credit for.
But I'll say this:
the game that he called, I thought the timeout to give the replay booth more time to look at it was smart. There was a lot of stuff that he did right that you're not used to him doing right.
The only thing that I will say, fellas, is because of all the credit that we're giving out, I don't think Watson's getting enough credit for what he did and what this guy does. We talk about it, and I talk about it a lot with Harden. you're so immune to giving him all the credit because you're witnessing it daily as opposed to the fans that see it occasionally. The fact that in Houston you're watching what Deshaun Watson does weekly to save your ass, because when Simon had him in the grasp, they scored on that drive now.
Yeah.
So if Simon brings him down, any other quarterback, but he keeps it alive, then he keeps the drive alive, then they score on it, and you're like, yeah, that was great, and offensive rhythm was fantastic, and they did, they spread it out, and they got, that's all on Forrest's shoulders for what he did.
And the big thing about that drive was how much time it took off the clock.
That too.
I mean, the fact that you can leave Brady on the bench, and we need to talk about how inaccurate Brady was all game long, but that drive, I thought, was really crucial. That was a minutes eater. And when you're up on the Patriots and you're up, what, at one point, 21-9?
Yeah, you patrioted the Patriots, because that's what they would normally do. Get a lead and then just suck the life out of you by going on these long drives. And you patrioted the Patriots in a way in which it really benefited you, and you were able to execute. Lots of positives to talk about.
Yep.
And so I know that everybody's going to want to get on this, but we've got lots to break down, not only from the New England side, but the Texans side and what it means going forward. Your boys, the Tennessee Titans, got a big win. So they're still on the radar.
Told you guys, better watch out.
You told us, and there it is. So if you guys want to join the show.
These teams play twice.
That means we got to see Vrabel's mustache twice.
That's a big deal, though.
Gee, that's a big deal. So the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. I was going to say, you can't give me love at the start of the segment without crapping on the end. We got to make sure that we get balanced, just like the Texans offense. HRP listener line, call or text that number, 713-780-3776, or hit us on Twitter, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick, at Barry Is Funny. Usual Suspects, just getting started with 3 hours of fun and games to talk about. And before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks. I hope we got to one of the 5 area locations of a Twin Peaks over the weekend, because there was so much going on sports-wise, and maybe you wanted to get out of the house, you were tired of the leftovers, you were tired of the relatives, and you were looking for a place to escape that had all the amenities. It's Twin Peaks, and it's still going on throughout the holidays. We got bowl season coming up, NBA schedule, NCAA basketball. They've got all the packages to where you can watch all the games at whatever table you're sitting at, great TVs, and of course the beautiful Twin Peaks girls are going to be there. But the fact of the matter is, if you're looking for great food, it's made from scratch appetizers and main courses. It's 29-degree draft beer, and it just goes on and on. If you want to get out of the house and have everything taken care of for you after being a host or hostess for Thanksgiving, hey, get to a Twin Peaks. 5 area locations in Houston, so there's got to be one close to you. And like I always tell you, it's just exactly the way they do business. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Rolling with the show on a Monday after the Thanksgiving holiday. And there's a lot to be given thanks about if you're a Texans fan with a big victory against the hated New England Patriots. Bill O'Brien and crew 0-4 coming into that game against the Patriots.
Boy, did Bill Belly not want to shake hands afterwards or what?
Man.
Old sore-ass loser.
Take the L, sir.
You know, if they would have won that game 27-14 or something like that, he'd be all up in there, hey, Bill, that's a good job. And he wanted no part of a handshake with Bill O'Brien after getting beat. And I know that that's a good football team, and they're 10-2, and the Patriots aren't going anywhere. That's still a good football team.
But the thing is,
Tom Brady did not look good.
I was going to say, the thing is, the calling card for the Patriots has always been Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, just enough offensive weapons. But they're with experience and execution, they are going to be like a surgeon, and they're going to take you apart. And now it's totally flipped. Now they rely on their defense. And their defense, who had given up, I believe, 4 passing touchdowns all year, gave up 4 last night.
One of them.
I get it. It was a lateral type play.
But they didn't give up multiple passing touchdowns all year. It's still a sentiment to what the Texans did.
Yeah.
Their defense is, without a doubt, carrying this team, like you say, Joel. But I thought for sure that Tom Brady is, you know, was due for a good game.
Huh.
But the past 2 weeks, when you see that he's not being himself, and then a third week goes by, I just feel like something's wrong with Tom Brady. He's just not himself at the very minimum.
He got bailed out on a couple other interceptions.
Sure. He did. One was completely dropped.
Penalties or whatnot. But he's not as accurate. Well, at least he wasn't in this game. He looked like he was. Now, also, you got to give a little credit to that Texans front seven. They were actually getting some pressure on Brady.
Yeah.
Forcing him into some throws. He had to move around in the pocket. He wasn't able to just stay set. And he's good at moving around in the pocket. But anytime you can make a quarterback move their feet, you're probably going to be in good shape. And the Texans did that. It won't show up in the box score necessarily that they hurried him or made him move around and get a little uncomfortable. But they did a good job of that almost all game. And he wasn't that accurate. Now, he was 24 of 47. He did throw for 326 yards. But they were playing from behind the whole time. And they weren't really, I mean, you know.
Well, Sony Michel had, what, less than 60 yards rushing. So that tells you they were playing. Because they wanted to play ball control, as we talked about. The other thing that's not going to show up in the box score where credit is due is Romeo Crennel.
Oh, yeah.
Because he Belichicked Belichick. He decided Julian Edelman is their biggest weapon. We're going to double team the crap out of him. And you're going to have to beat us with somebody else. And when you look at who those somebody else's are, I'll live and die with the fact that Edelman's not going to beat us this time. So Romeo Crennel and his staff, fantastic in terms of sticking with it once they decided to go to it. Because early on, I think that they hadn't really sold themselves on this is what we should do. Mm-hmm. And Edelman got a couple of catches, and they're like, nope, that's what we're going to do.
You know, they mentioned it a little bit during the broadcast, but you can really tell that Tom Brady misses having a quality tight end.
Oh, without question.
I mean, this is offense that they've built in New England, and they even talked about Gronkowski running that seam route.
Yeah, that's the one he hasn't run since Gronk left.
And they had one last night, but you can tell that Tom Brady doesn't have the people around him that he trusts. And I mean, you saw, they even made a big deal about how he was screaming at the receivers to play faster, let's speed things up, and they did this whole thing, and your favorite guy, John Boy, out of New York, broke it down and lip-read it and all that, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, this Patriots offense, I talked about it last week, and it's been no secret. They're not that good.
And aside from a blow-up with Bill O'Brien way back in the day, Brady's the consummate professional that never lets him see you sweat. He never cracks and pulls that, and especially in a national TV game, for him to lose it, not only when he was yelling at the receivers, he threw his helmet twice.
A couple times,
where he was really frustrated. And that's when you know, hey, this is a deal where I'm 40-something, and I don't have many more opportunities. And with the record that we have, we should be set. The table should be set for us to make another Super Bowl push. And you know he's not feeling it offensively.
No, yeah. He definitely feels like he's out there by himself almost with the fact that he's not really getting any help. And, I mean, James White had a good game.
It was a Badger.
And he's been pretty effective, you know, when he's on the field. But there's just something about this offense and Tom Brady and these receivers that aren't clicking. And I think when you can kind of make this team one-dimensional, and look, they put up on 145 yards. Hell, even Brady had a 13-yard run, which I was like, really?
Yeah, you saw a lot because he hates to get touched.
Yeah.
He hates to get hit. And he got popped a few times. And a few times I saw him, typical Brady, look for the official, like, was that late? Can I get a flag? But he wasn't the overly whiny bitch that he normally is. But then again, out of his comfort zone, you saw him have to scramble.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, he's uncomfortable.
Did you see a couple times when he would throw the ball with pressure on him where he would just fall to the ground like a fainting goat?
Yep.
And I was like, I get it, he's the goat. But last night he was a fainting goat a couple of times. I was like, wow. That, and even Nora was like, why did he fall down like that when he threw it? I was like, because he didn't want to get hit. She was like, he's kind of a bitch, though. Huh? I was like, yeah, like that's...
You see it a lot with receivers that have longevity, that put up big numbers.
They go down early.
The minute that contact's coming, they bail before it even gets close. And they'll give up the extra couple of yards to save the beating on the body. And Brady's been notorious for that, but his offensive line's always been good enough that you don't see it consistently.
Not so much this year.
Last night, and throughout the year, you've seen a different Tom Brady because he's got to face the music and pay a couple of prices he's not been used to paying.
Yep. So last night, with the win, Texans hold off the Titans for at least one more week. Because then the Titans would have taken over the lead in the division.
Yeah, they lost. Yeah.
But the Titans won. Texans won. And then Patriots now fall
to two in the AFC.
Two in the AFC. I don't know. And look, I just like I told you with the Titans, the Bills ain't out of it.
Bills
ain't out of it.
Buffalo was fool's gold, but having watched them on Thanksgiving Day in Dallas on the road, seeing a much more mature Allen play quarterback the way you want him to play it, you're like, you know what? With that defense, and again, as long as the offense doesn't kill you by giving it up,
yeah,
they got a chance.
And they pissed one away against the Browns.
Yeah, they did.
They win that, they're tied. I mean, if they win that game, they're tied with the Patriots for the division.
But again, and we can get into this a little later too, because of the fact that, look, it's a what have you done for me lately league, in terms of from week to week, we talk about a team that should be a Super Bowl favorite and they lose a game and suddenly they're pretenders and they should be off the reservoir, and then all of a sudden they win again and they're back. But you look at exactly what you said, but look at the entire complexion of the league. Everybody thought, well, it's the Niners, it's the best team in the NFC. They're going to win the division and have home field throughout. Now, don't look in your rearview mirror, but if Seattle beats Minnesota tonight, Seattle could win that division, because they won the first one against San Francisco and they got one more against them. So schedule-wise, that's a deal. The Texans have to look out for the Titans. The Packers have to look out for the Vikings, if the Vikings win tonight, because they got one more matchup. So a lot of what you thought was solidified across the league is completely up for grabs, from home field advantage to winning the division to everything in between.
The Patriots are lucky, though, that their schedule, I mean, it's not easy, but they do have the Bengals and the Dolphins left.
That helps, but the Eagles thought the same thing.
They've got, yeah, that's true. Sorry, Holly.
Miami's starting to play a little better.
But the Chiefs and the Bills is going to be the last two tests for the Patriots.
Sure.
So you know that the Bills have the Patriots, but they also have the Steelers and the Jets. Two very winnable games for this football team, but they face the Ravens next.
I was going to say, though, you guys, remember when Big Ben went down?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's season's over?
Yeah.
And then a couple of games later, when they lost the game they should have won, we're like, well, now it's really over?
Yeah.
They're the second wild card team, and their schedule, as you have mentioned, is pretty good for them.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's going to be a fun last 4 weeks of the NFL season with all the matchups, because, like I said, you've got the Bills facing the Ravens. And even if they lose that, the Patriots have to go beat the Chiefs. And then they still have to play the Bills. So if the Patriots don't handle their business, they could find themselves as a wild card team.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the NFL. The schedule maker for the NFL this year has got to be just looking for a raise as soon as possible.
No kidding. He wants
to PJ Fleck it. He needs to capitalize on the fact that whatever you said I did in the past, schedule this year looks fantastic down the stretch. I need more money.
Do it now, man. Right?
No doubt.
Hey, and speaking of doing now, if you're thinking about getting action on these games, you should do it now. Go sign up on my bookie right now. Go do it now. And when you do, make sure you use promo code RADIO. RADIO, that's going to get you an exclusive double your money offer from MyBookie. They're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money for you to wager. All you got to do when you sign up at mybookie.ag is use that promo code RADIO. And there's a ton of reasons why you should sign up. If you're already at some other sports book, some no-name sports book where you're risking your money, do yourself a favor, cash out. It's probably going to take you a little while, but then move over to MyBookie. You're going to love their customer service. You're going to love what they have to offer. No other sports book out there has more prop bets than MyBookie. They've got everything else you could want that any other sports book out there has, but they've got more prop bets. And most importantly, nobody pays you faster than MyBookie. You get your cash when you want it. You don't have to worry about getting the runaround or getting, you know, put off for months and months and months like some of these no-name sports books do. When you're ready to cash out, you get your money. They're going to make sure it's you, but they're going to pay you. And that's super important. And they've got in-game live action. So even if you miss kickoff, you can still bet and wager on your favorite team or your games or whatever you're watching. And I'll give you a tip. Follow Jerry Bowe, because he's got in-game betting going on all the time. So between Jerry Bowe and MyBookie, you are absolutely set. So do yourself a favor right now. Go sign up at mybookie.ag. Use that promo code RADIO and get that exclusive double your money offer. Y'all, you play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along on the drive, wherever you may be on this Monday, coming back to the real world after hopefully you had some time to rest, relax, fill yourself up with plenty of food, beverage, family, otherwise, and now you're getting back into it, and hopefully that means you're loyal suspects and you're hanging with us till 4.
Yeah, you should definitely hang with us until 4.
Breaking news, so we can get some of this out of the way.
Oh, boy.
Chris Peterson is resigning as the head coach of Washington football. The former coach of Boise State that was known as an offensive genius.
Mm-hmm.
In a shocking announcement, the school said he is going to transition into a leadership advisory role within the athletic department. He issued a statement as well. Without reading any of the details, I saw the crawl while we were in first segment, and I thought, well, he's either going to get an NFL coaching opportunity, like an old coordinator, or someone like Texas is going to overpay him to do something offensively. But the way this looks to me, and I don't want to speculate, but this seems to scream something personal with him that's going to keep him within the confines of University of Washington, but probably take away the hard regiment schedule that
are you talking about health wise?
Either health wise, family wise, whatever. Something's going on that is causing him to do something like this. I go to the Urban Meyer card.
Right.
When he was at Ohio State, he didn't leave for another job. He didn't speculate on anything else. He was just stepping back. He took an advisory role. This is what this screams to me. Okay. And I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but this is what it looks like to me.
Well, yeah, they didn't have a great season, 7-5. I mean, they expect better, I think, with that program. But you're right. If he's not, it's different if you step down.
Right.
Because then you're saying, well, I'm no longer going to be a part of the University of Washington.
Steps out, because they're literally billing this as him stepping down, even though he's going to an advisory role.
Oh, okay.
But he's doing so within the confines of the athletic department, as opposed to I'm stepping out, stepping down, because there's greener pastures with more money or things out there.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that. Interim, the offensive coordinator is going to be their interim coach, but I'm sure they're going to look for a name. Maybe another opportunity for Urban Meyer, because everybody keeps saying Urban's headed for USC, but USC's new athletic director has said it needs to be an alum, and they're not interested in Urban Meyer, which I think they're absolutely crazy if that's the way they're thinking. However, they're playing better football, and people are also thinking Helton may be able to save his job short term.
I don't know that if I'm USC at this point, you don't need to get an alum. You just need to win.
I mean, Urban Meyer's going to have his choice, right?
You're right.
As long as he wants to coach again, whether it's going to be USC, Florida State, Washington, even Michigan, Harbaugh after that horrible show.
No way Urban Meyer goes to Michigan.
And that's the thing. Like, do you really want to see what kind of person Urban Meyer is?
If he goes to Michigan,
he is the biggest a-hole on the planet, and everything is solidified.
Yeah. Boy, I was at, you mentioned Twin Peaks earlier.
Yep.
And I had an appearance out there where I got to hang out at the Twin Peaks Shenandoah from noon to 2 on Saturday. Shout out to Tyler and Frankie Stars for coming and hanging with me.
Started a freaking war about the t-shirts.
I didn't start that.
Listeners got all
I didn't start that, but I'll just say, if you had the chance to come hang with me and you wanted a shirt, both Tyler and Frankie got a shirt.
Yeah, Patrick. And they were slimmed down a little bit, and they'll have inventory.
Frankie got a 3X. He's a large man. He's a former wrestler.
You got choices, Patrick. Either eat your ass off to get to 3X, or slim down to a single X, and we can take care of it.
But we had a good time, and we watched a lot of football. Mainly watched that Ohio State Michigan game.
What there was to watch of it.
That first half, it felt close. I realized it was 28-17, but it felt close. But then they got annihilated. It was just an ass whooping in the second half. It wasn't even close. And, that Aggie game, I was out after the first half. I was like, I can't do this. I was out really.
What was the first quarter?
21-0, but 31-0. I was like, I'm done with this. This sucks. This is stupid. This is awful. And you looked at it, and you didn't. After Ohio State beat Michigan like that, you thought there's no way that they're not number one. But then LSU beats A&M 50-7. And you think, all right, maybe so. But I feel like now Ohio State, in my eyes, has finally earned that number one slot. And again, I would listen to arguments for both sides. But you guys know, every week I've come in here and bitched that LSU is getting disrespected and they should be number one. But after what Ohio State did to a decent Michigan football team, they made them look bad. I mean, Michigan was 13, according to the committee.
Which I think was a lot more around hype than results. No, I mean, look, they've lost games that if you're Michigan and you're the powerhouse you're supposed to be, you're not supposed to lose. So, you know, a lot of that is because of the fact that there's a lot of hype around the program and Harbaugh and everything else. But if you truly want to be what that program expects to be, you just have to be better across the board, recruiting-wise, offensively, talent-wise, yeah. Executing. It was awful. I was hoping for a game that wasn't even close.
Credit where credit is due. Ohio State now with wins over Michigan State, who at the time was 25, but still you got wins against Wisconsin, yep. Penn State, and now Michigan. That's big. And that to me now that resume adds up.
No, and I said,
because all I wanted to do was see them beat some teams that were ranked.
But I had told you, having seen them more than most, the eye test says if you're looking for the most complete team, just looking at what's on the roster and the depth, they're Alabama of a couple years ago in terms of offense, defense, special teams, too deep, talent all over the place. You look at even the games last night and across the board, how many guys said Ohio State when they were talking about school they were from in the starting lineups, and you're like, you know what? People sleep on how good Ohio State's been for the last 5, 6, 7 years, and the fact that the talent level may be better this year than any of those years.
But I get it. But until they resume wins, yeah, eye test and depth and all those things are great. But LSU was just, all they were doing was out here beating top teams.
Yep.
And so now Ohio State, I think, has the resume that warrants them being the number one team in the country. So I wouldn't. And in fact, when I tweeted out a quick top 10 after all the college games were over, and I had Ohio State number one.
Yeah, and I was going to say, whether they're one or two, and you can go back and debate that all you want, at the end of the day, you just hope for the fact that at the end of the year, if they are the two best teams, that's who's left standing to play the game of the year that you would like to see, and that they're going to solidify their position as being two of the four teams. I think as long as they're in and there's a chance for those two teams to play to decide who's better, that's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
So as long as those two are one and two, I get it. I've said LSU all year with strength of schedule. Now, like you said, people maybe have changed their mind based on what Ohio State's doing to annihilate whoever they play. So we'll see.
The real argument now is...
Well, it's four.
No, yeah, it's four. Is it OU or is it Utah?
Right.
And they both have to win their conference, but if they do...
Yeah, there's going to be a whole lot of politicking
and
going on.
As much as people wanted to poo-poo on me saying Baylor wasn't in it, but if Baylor wins, and don't sleep on the fact that Baylor wasn't up really big on OU at one point. They can beat team.
I watched that whole game.
They can beat OU.
Oh, no.
And if Baylor wins the Big 12, are you just going to dismiss the fact that they might could be in?
Yeah, the biggest thing with Utah, because I've watched them play a little bit more, and offensively, they're really, really good.
Yeah, they started off slow in that game. But they're
going to get hurt by their conference schedule.
Yeah.
They're going to get hurt by the fact that the Pac-12 isn't even close to what it once was. UCLA is garbage. USC is okay. Yeah. But other than that, Oregon
was like Michigan.
Yeah, you were hanging your hat, even maybe less than that, but yeah. And you were hanging your hat on Oregon, and then they crapped the bed for you 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, I think they're going to get hurt by schedule. Oklahoma's going to try and capitalize on that. But like you said, they still have unfinished business they have to take care of so that we can have that discussion.
Because, I mean, Georgia, we're certain Georgia's losing the SEC title game.
I'm not certain. But I would think that, yeah. I mean, so, if they couldn't annihilate A&M.
Well, all right. Well, let's do this. So I tweeted out my top 10. You do your top 10, and then we can compare next segment and see where we differ. Yeah?
That's fine. Okay. We can do that. All right, before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. With the holidays upon us, and you maybe put Christmas lights outside, and you know your bills are going to go up. You need an energy provider that's going to be helpful and work with you on getting you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can so that you won't get dinged by these kind of higher bills when the holidays come around. They take care of you at Infuse Energy. How do I know? I switched about 3 years ago. I just renewed with them because they saved me thousands off of my previous energy provider. And so why wouldn't I stick with them? Because they're like a trusted friend. They're 100% honest. They're going to let me know, when I use energy the most, when I use it the least, what were the peak hours, what were the low hours, how did it compare to a year ago. ago. All the kind of information that if you really want to break down the numbers can help you to save energy on your end while they're doing what they can do on their end. They take care of you with great customer service. They got a 5 out of 5 star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. That's the best you can get. So you know you're going to get people that care. And they're also going to tell you when there's another company out there that could possibly beat their rates and prices because they don't want you to feel like you got bamboozled. That's just the way that they do business. Josh Pestikoff and his staff, locally owned and operated, they have your back. And they love ESPN 97.5. You mention us and you get a $25 bill credit when you sign up. And that's just to get you started in the right path. And then from there, you find out quickly. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. It's also 100% green energy at your fingertips. So you can set up a green plan, offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, helps decrease your carbon footprint. So you're doing something for the environment while Infuse is doing something for you. Check them out, InfuseEnergy.com, or call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by. Infuse energy into your life.
I hear this.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Flying by. We are working on rolling through hour one, 3 hour show.
Yeah.
Cast of thousands stopping in to say hi, including Pick Me.
Pick Me.
Pick Me. Mike, it's not Get Me, Lick Me.
Whoa. Hey.
Wow.
He's opening a whorehouse?
Get Me.
Pick
is
Me.
No more.
Is that. Is...
Pick Me events. Oh, he'll get me. You watch out. But at the same time,
well,
actually,
weird.
For Lisa, he'll get Lisa and do the
okay. Now it's
ride to the airport
weird.
And back. But yeah, but if you're looking for anything to do at a party that where you got you want to take pictures and have some fun, Pick Me events, fantastic. Our good buddy Mike's in the studio. So wrapping up hour number one, we've covered a lot of base. We were talking a little college football, and the other thing, Barry, I wanted to throw out there just because I hadn't said it yet, and I think I'm gonna be the campaign manager for this.
Okay,
under the radar, UNLV football fired their head coach. Friend of the show, Keenan McCardell, currently the wide receiver coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We all know that Doug Marrone is not exactly coaching his ass off.
Not going great out there.
I'm going to throw it out there right now. Keenan McCardell should be the next coach at UNLV.
Oh.
An alum goes back. He's got enough NFL guys that kind of what Herm Edwards did at Arizona State when everybody crapped on the idea of him being successful after being out of college football for so long. I think Keenan could bring a stable of ex-NFL players at different position groups, and he could help to turn that program around. So I'm going to throw it out there.
There you go.
Keenan McCardell for head coach UNLV.
Do it.
And then we've got all kinds of hookups in Vegas when we want to go to Vegas.
I like it.
That would be fantastic.
I like the way you're thinking.
I'll throw that out there. So before the break, you were talking about the new top 10.
Yep.
And where you see everything going. Why don't you tell everybody what you got, where you got them.
All right. So I flip-flopped LSU and OSU for me. And I know this is not what I think the committee would do. This is just what I think, right? So the committee, I think they're probably going to be close to this as well. But I had OSU 1, LSU 2, Clemson 3.
I'm with you on all three.
All right. I had Georgia 4.
For now, I believe that's correct.
Yeah. And then, of course, we're going to figure out real quick between Georgia and LSU what happens there. But I had OU 5.
Why?
Utah 6, Baylor 7, mm-hmm. Bama 8. Florida 9, Wisconsin 10.
I love 10 because I'm totally in on that.
Well,
by the way,
so
let's just
shocked.
Talk. At some point, we need to mention what happened there and the fact that I did tell you so weeks ago.
You did?
That they were going to face, Minnesota was going to face the music and get theirs at home against Wisconsin. And Wisconsin's going to go to the Big Ten championship game where they're going to get annihilated by Ohio State. But I was very happy to watch the Badgers and see that win. I have Wisconsin at 10 as well.
Okay.
My reservations are, I flip-flopped Utah and Oklahoma because as good as Jalen Hurts has been, I've also seen him make a lot of mistakes.
Okay.
And I feel like having watched Utah a little bit more lately,
their offense is impressive. And I like what they're able to do. Now, they have another obstacle that they have to get by in a team that was supposed to be where they are in Oregon. So I'll wait to see. But for now, my eye test says I like the positives of Utah more than I like in Oklahoma. But that could change. So I'll go flip-flop what you had. I'll go Utah 5, Oklahoma 6.
Okay.
All right. Baylor 7. Because I'm with you. They really were taking it to Oklahoma in the first half of that game. That's part of the reason why I have Oklahoma below Utah. Then Alabama, Florida, and Wisconsin.
Okay. So pretty close. The reason I have OU ahead of Utah is OU has better wins. Like, what is Utah's signature win? Arizona State?
Their conference kills them, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I get what they're doing offensively is great. And, you know, defensively, they're... You know, they put up some goose eggs and some low score at UCLA, 49-3 and all that is great. But consider those teams, right? Mm-hmm. Where I realize that OU laid an egg against K-State and lost that game. And, you know, and that's – I get it. And Baylor probably should have beat them. But the fact of the matter is they won those games. So it's just like people want to talk about Baylor and Tech and all that. The fact is right now OU has beat Baylor – at the time was ranked, and you know they'll be ranked a top 10 team, but they have a win over them, and then this game against Oklahoma State, that wasn't an easy game. OSU was ranked, yeah, you know, in the 20s. It was on the road. It was bedlam. It was rivalry game. It was all the it had all the makings of a trap game. Right, I mean, this is a game that they could have lost.
No, absolutely, and we know, right? We said how rivalry games go.
They handled their business, 34-16. I mean, that game was never really in doubt. It's kind of like that OSU Michigan game, where you felt like at times Michigan was in it, you felt like at times OSU might be in it, but at the end of the day, this game was never in doubt. And the fact that at the time, you know, they've got a couple of wins, and we'll have to figure out where OSU ends up. I still think they're a good football team. But they just, the resume to me is a little bit, but not a lot, not a ton, but a little bit better than Utah at this point.
My biggest thing in watching Utah was, I know that their calling card, a lot of what we were talking about with the Patriots, I knew their calling card was defense, that they were athletic, they've got some players that are going to be highly sought after to play on Sundays. But offensively, I was like, can they play with Oregon? Can they do the things? And like you said, their schedule hasn't been great, so I wasn't sold on them. And then I started watching them go, oh, they got some talent here. Mm-hmm. They got some people. They execute. They stay within the game plan. They don't sway from it and take too many big risks and chances. But when they do make a move, they play well. You're right. The biggest negative for Utah is you really haven't played anyone. And yeah, games and teams. Now, if they beat Oregon, they're going to hang every hat that they have on that. Whereas if you're Oklahoma and you say, look, we could have folded up our tents and gone home when Baylor took it right to us in the first half. But you know what we did? We completely flipped the script, did a 180, and won a game we were supposed to lose.
Yeah, but again, I'm looking for a team in the top 25, just AP poll, coaches poll, any poll that Utah has beat, none exist. Not a single one.
And that now, is that their fault or is that the conference's fault for just having weak teams?
Both. Okay. But I mean, but again, you know, you play who's in front of you, and at least OU, they have a signature win against a top 10 team in Baylor.
Okay.
And
so
they
then
just
do you
drove,
feel like in order to
they
get.
They just knocked, by the way, OSU out of the top 25, who at the time, the committee had them 21 going
what,
into
Oregon
this
State?
Week. No, Oklahoma State.
With Oklahoma,
OU just knocked out Oklahoma
sure.
State.
Look, and there's a lot
out
of
the top 25, and they were 21 when they
there's
did it.
There's supposed
so.
To be a lot of talent in Oklahoma. That's why I'm saying, too, in order for Utah to stay where I have them currently, because again, it's what I have right now. With games still to be played. So that's not my final end-all, be-all. But I like the fact that having spent a little bit more time watching them, mm-hmm. they're more balanced than I thought they were.
Sure.
But when I look at it and say, too, you're supposed to have all the top five. Oklahoma's supposed to be loaded with prospects. They're supposed to have all the talent in the world. You just have to see how this thing plays out because I really believe in order for Utah to get serious consideration and get to that four spot, they're going to have to whack Oregon. Not just
I would agree
beat them,
that.
Beat them by a field goal or whatever. They're going to have to take them to the woodshed.
Yeah. And I mean, dude, you look at Baylor and their only loss was to OU. And if they beat them.
I was going to say, if they
the
beat
Big
them
12,
again and they take it to Baylor this time and they beat them,
yeah.
then you've got to give them their props.
But I'm saying if Baylor wins, it's kind of like if Georgia wins.
So you think if Baylor wins, they get consideration for getting into the four?
Well, I'm just saying it really messes things up, right? If Baylor beats OU, if Georgia beats LSU, it just creates a lot of – because now you've got, you know, Bama's out of it, but then you've got Bama saying, well, we beat LSU, you know, Georgia beat LSU, or Bama beat Georgia, mm-hmm. Georgia beat LSU, LSU beat Bama. It's that typical SEC triangle that tends to mess things up when the teams don't take care of business the way they're supposed to. And I think that could be the case if Baylor beats OU, because then it's like, well, you know, we were 1-1 against them, so who's the better team? Look at the resumes. I think the OU win against OSU this week has some significance to it, because Baylor, outside of having, if they beat OU, they really don't have a signature win, even though I think they're a good football team. They just don't have a signature win, other than that would be their signature win.
They got a hell of a coach, and they've had a hell of a year. But again, when you're looking at it, the good news is that we're not going to have to make a decision this week and try and speculate, and again, do what the committee's been doing with who sits 1 and 2 in the polls by saying eye test versus strength of schedule versus all these other things. Everybody's going to have at least one more game that's going to control a lot of where they end up, with, like you said, Oklahoma having to play Baylor,
no.
with Oregon taking on Utah. Those are big games. Alabama's out, which I love.
Yeah, I do too. But all that said, I think OU is going to beat Baylor. What I'm suggesting is that this isn't decided. This isn't over.
Right, exactly.
Because if Utah loses, if OU loses, if LSU loses, this creates, or you could put it another way, if Georgia wins, if Baylor wins, if Oregon wins, right? This isn't over yet.
But don't these you agree? Teams, you can say that.
There's some weird things that can happen.
The immunity lies on two teams.
Because the worst
thing State and LSU could both lose and still their spots are solidified.
And that's what I was going to say. The worst thing that could happen to OU, Baylor, and Utah is Georgia wins.
That's right.
Because then what you might see is LSU and Georgia both make the Final Four and bounce the conference champ.
Yep. Which is something that the committee is going to have to think
what's
long
be
and
fun.
Hard about. Yeah.
I mean, but if you made me pick right now, I'm taking Utah, OU, and LSU to win those games.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. All right, that's hour number one of the show. Still got 2 hours to go. Plenty more to get to. We can revisit everything to do with the Texans. We can talk about, hey, by the way, I know some people think basketball doesn't start till December. Well, it's December. And
never
then they
heard
say
that.
Christmas.
Who's
but
said
then they
that?
Say you're, yeah, I mean, your guy had 60 points in three quarters.
Never
Let's
heard
talk
of
about
it.
That.
Don't know what that is.
With a Rockets victory as well. Lots to get to, and of course your calls and your questions are welcome. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Hour number two, right around the corner. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.